This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this is your Nishna Valley for Easter weekend.
Yes.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, yes.
Hope you're having a great Easter weekend. Easter is one of those really, really fun celebrations where everybody gets together to celebrate, well, of course, the real reason that we worship.
Right.
There wouldn't be much of religion if it wasn't for the death and resurrection.
No.
But it's a family time.
It sure is.
And that's, I think, really probably what makes God look down and smile this weekend, is so many people take advantage of the opportunity to get together as family and spend some time together over a good meal and, you know, without a football game on TV.
Right. No, yeah, no TV distractions.
You know, it's just, and hopefully if the weather's nice enough, even getting outside and doing some family activities and things too.
Yeah,
it seems like so many other holidays we get together and it revolves around what game is on.
Mm-hmm.
So in this particular case, yeah, maybe we can spend some good family time together during the day. Even the Final Four will be over by Easter Day.
What about NASCAR? Is NASCAR on?
Oh, I don't know. It could be. I'm not sure.
That'd be one that Mike would want to watch.
There are things. Of course, the opening.
There's always something on, yeah.
Yeah, the opening baseball game of the season is on Easter Sunday, but that's a night game, so you can spend the day with family. But yeah, it's just always good. So what's on the... Do you have family plans this weekend?
We do. It's jam-packed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you traveling?
No.
Place to place?
We don't have to travel far for either side of our family. You know, Mike's side's here in town, and mine's just outside of Cumberland, really, so...
Are you cooking?
I'll bring something.
You should have seen the look on her face.
Yeah, Saturday we had pool tournament all day, so Sunday it's lunch with his side, and then supper with my side. So
excellent.
Hopefully I can make something that'll keep. I've yet to decide, I guess. But
ham was always the meal of choice at Easter for us.
Yeah, I don't do the main thing.
Yeah.
No,
it was always pressure. That was always the meat of choice at our place.
The spiral ham?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yep, that's what we'll be having.
For whatever reason. I mean, it's just ham on Easter is just as important to us as turkey on Thanksgiving was. I mean, it was just automatic.
That's what you have, yeah.
It was just automatic. Now, I know as we got a little bit older, Grandma started making a roast as well, beef roast, just in case, you know, there's
a little
variety. But we also had 20-plus people there, too, so, you know, it's
you
a lot of
more,
stuff.
Yeah.
But ham was always, that was the choice.
Yeah.
And I know that's on our menu here this weekend, too,
yeah.
So pretty excited about
that.
Yeah,
my mom switched it up this year. I think she's going to do something a little different since we'll have the big meal on his side at noon. So I think we're just going to be grilling out, doing some hamburgers and that kind of thing.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, Grandma, we were growing up. My grandparents are all, they're with the Lord now.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandparents, we always went to my grandparents' house for all of the, we were there every Sunday, but we always were there on the holidays and stuff too. And Grandma, she was always responsible for all the, you know, all the main stuff. Her and my aunt lived with them as well, so she'd take care of that. But everybody else would kind of always like bring a side dish and stuff,
sure,
like a lot of folks do.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it just got to the point where every holiday, whether it was Easter or Christmas or Thanksgiving, whenever we were together like that, you look around the kitchen table and you wonder, how many Jell-O salads and fruit salads can this table hold?
Yeah, well, the spring, you know, potluck type deals and lunches like that, it's hard to think of, I don't know, Thanksgiving you can do corn casserole, green bean casserole, the warm casseroles. But now that we're in the spring, you kind of think more of like the spring pasta salads and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's hard. I don't have a wide variety of recipes, I guess, on hand for that kind of thing. I think I'm going to be doing a taco salad.
Well, that's not so bad,
yeah,
though. Yeah, for whatever reason, our taste kind of, when we go that direction. I mean, we typically eat less in the summer anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But because, you know, in the wintertime, you just have that natural, got to pack it on
mm-hmm,
kind of thing. Like squirrels and nuts, you know.
We just cream have to, of soup and this and that, and
pack it on. But in the summertime, we tend to want to eat a little bit lighter. But our tastes change. We don't eat as many roasts. And you can ask anybody who works in any of the meat departments at grocery stores. They'll tell you, because they can see it in what they sell.
Yeah.
You know, they don't sell as many roasts in the summertime. You know, they're selling a lot more stuff that you can throw out on the grill and what have you. But yeah, when it comes to the side dishes, that's when all of a sudden potato salad sounds good.
Yep.
You know, coleslaws and what you're talking about, the cold salads, maybe a taco salad or the Jell-O salads, things like that, different types of things. They just sound good that time of the year. When it's 20 below zero outside, they just don't.
Yeah, the cold stuff. You got to have the cold stuff in the summer.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I always like fruit salad, though.
My
aunt always made fruit salad, and one time she accidentally left it in the freezer too long, and it came out, and it was frozen.
Oh, that'd be pretty good, though.
It was. We started a new thing, and I told her, ooh, I like it this way. Yeah. I actually like it this way better, where it's, you know, got a little little chill to it. So, yeah that's what we did from there on. Although, you better make sure you don't have any cavities.
Yeah, that'll really get you.
If you're going to stick frozen fruit salad in your mouth and bite into that, you know, the little pineapple, like a little chunk of frozen pie, it'll find the cavities if you have any.
I bet.
Yeah, any sensitivities in the gums, you'll find that real quick. I know.
It just gives you the shivers,
gives you a chill down your back, doesn't it? Well, I hope whatever you're doing here this Easter weekend is done with family and friends, the people you love. We hope you're having a great time this weekend, and the weather looks like it's going to be really good all throughout the weekend. Friday was a little chilly and windy, but Saturday warmed up some, and then Sunday is supposed to be, I think, around 70 or in the low to mid-70s again. So, and then early next week looks like it's going to be pretty nice weather-wise. So, yeah, with any luck, you get a chance to get out and do some things. That rain we had about an inch of rain earlier this past week. Wow, did the grass green up in a hurry.
Like the next day.
Yeah, we'll be mowing here in just days.
Hey, let's not get too far.
Hooray!
No. Boo.
You know what else you'll be doing in the next few days when it comes to being outside in the lawn? Staring at some of those dandelions.
Oh.
You get dandelions in the yard?
We used to. We had them sprayed 1 year, and really we haven't seen a lot come back. Been lucky on that.
You know, the best way, I was reading an article, we shared this on the air the other day, I'll share it here again too, some of the highlights, but the website betterlawncare.com shared some information about how to kill dandelions, because that's the main pest everybody seems to have at some time or another. You know, they take over your yard. There are different ways to get rid of them. You can use chemicals, or you can use natural organic methods, and they all work. But you got to keep after them because it's, you know, it can be labor intensive, and they just, well, you know how fast they reproduce.
Yeah.
Dandelions especially invade thin, stressed turf grass stands. So they say up front, the best way to prevent dandelions is to maintain a healthy lawn. If you maintain a dense, healthy lawn, it's hard for the weeds to grow. So if you have a thick, vigorous lawn, there's nowhere for them to pop up, you know, so... Just that's the easy way, is to take care of the lawn. But dandelions, they're just simple perennials. They do have a long taproot, though, and that allows them to survive the winter and then regrow in the spring. A tiny little piece of that taproot is all that's required to form a new plant, which is why it's so difficult to pull them. New plants spread. They sprout from the seeds, you know, those bright yellow flowers. Of course, they come from white puffballs full of seeds that are dispersed by the wind. Every plant is capable of producing hundreds of seeds that will multiply around your yard and neighborhood, and the winds can carry those little tiny seedlings. They can carry them for miles on a windy day, and they germinate throughout the growing season. So anyway, if you have those things, because you're going to be seeing them here soon, Here's how you can control some of those dandelions. They flower in the spring, and then they flower again in the fall, so it's twice a year. The best time to attack them is right after they flower, because flowering and producing seeds takes up a lot of their energy. So after they've finished blooming, then they're weakened by low food reserves in their tap roots. So that's the best time if you're going to physically remove them by hand, by weeding them or digging them out, that's the time to do it. When you pull or dig them, though, make sure the soil is moist around them and remove as much of the tap root as possible. There are different types of weeding tools that you can use, or even a flathead screwdriver is helpful. You might have to dig a dandelion several times before it quits resprouting, but you need to keep digging the new plants as they return, and then before they have time to form another large taproot. Okay. They also make something called horticultural vinegar. It's not the same household vinegar that you use in your recipes and whatever else. That's kitchen-grade vinegar. Is not an effective herbicide because you need at least 20% acetic acid. So if you can find that, that'll work. Now, it'll only kill dandelion foliage, though. Horticultural vinegar will kill what's above ground. It won't kill the taproot. So new plants will return. So it's non-selective also, which means make sure you only spray the weed foliage because it'll kill anything else, including your grass. So, you know, you got to be careful of that. Also, you can use citric acid, but it's another non-selective option. So it'll kill anything that it hits, too. And then there's corn gluten meal. Sometimes can be used as natural weed and feed. It's worked as a pre-emergent herbicide. It prevents seedlings from developing a root system. It will not kill mature dandelions, though, but it can be difficult to use. Corn gluten meal, it's all about timing and environmental conditions. They have to be perfect for it to work. So, now, if you're going to use chemicals to kill dandelions. Here's some different ways to go about that. Selective post-emergence herbicides, broadleaf weed control, are the most effective dandelion killers that are safe for lawns. 2,4-D is an example of a selective and systemic post-emergent herbicide. Late spring and fall is the best time to use those broadleaf herbicides to kill dandelions, so you're starting to, you need to start thinking about it now. There are lots of common brands that you can find. Clear Choice, they say, is an interesting new product that uses microtechnology to improve the penetration of the active ingredients into the weeds. Less active ingredients are needed to kill the weeds that way. Glyphosate, one of the most popular. Roundup is the most common brand of glyphosate. It's a very effective weed killer. You can use it in landscape beds, sidewalks, and driveways. But remember, it is non-selective. Anybody who's used Roundup knows, just like the organic stuff above, just spray the weeds because it'll kill anything green that it runs into. Roundup is a more effective tool than the natural products because it does kill the whole plant, the roots, the shoots, and everything.
Perfect.
But again, it'll kill anything it touches, so make sure you're just getting it on there.
So get your spray directly on there.
Yeah, and then crabgrass preventers, too, applied in the spring before the weed seeds germinate, also help to reduce the amount of dandelion weed seedlings that will germinate and grow in the lawns. I guess bottom line is, if you take good care of your lawn, it'll take good care of you, too.
That's so true, yeah.
That way you don't have too many problems with some of those things. We like bright colors at Easter, don't we?
We do.
But bright yellow in the lawn?
No.
Not one of them.
Yeah.
No.
I'm just trying to think of our poor front lawn. It's kind of, it's in sad shape.
Well, you know, it's difficult if you have lots of trees and stuff, and you don't get a good amount of sunshine, and you don't have the shade, you know, the grasses that are made for shade, well, then you don't get a decent stand of grass. That's where you usually get stuff like this.
Yeah, and that's how ours is. One year we had our whole front yard tore up, so I'm just thankful we have some grass. But, of course, with Wyatt and his little Power Wheels truck, there's a lot of dirt patches out front now.
I know. And, you know, I've been told, too, that if you leave an area of lawn alone long enough, it'll just go back to natural prairie grasses and stuff, because apparently that stuff always stays under the ground and it's always ready to pop back if it can. And I don't know. I was told that.
Yeah.
Maybe they were fibbing. I don't know. But
I'd rather not find out.
Me either. No, no. Just take good care of the lawn from the get-go and you're in good shape. And again, the lawn will be, it'll be back in no time. Yeah. So it's greening up in a hurry. So be prepared for all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll come back and we'll share some activities and things going on here around the Nishna Valley. We'll do that right after we take this break.
Whether you're a patient we're seeing regularly for chemo treatments, attending one of our diabetes clinics, or a couple about to have your first baby, at Cass County Memorial Hospital, we think about your health 365 days a year.
Hello, this is Emily Kringle, registered dietitian at Cass County Health System. Good nutrition is essential in meeting your overall health goals. Healthy eating can include any food in moderation and should include a variety of foods from all the food groups. As your clinical dietitian, I can help you use good nutrition to achieve your personal health goals. For an appointment, please call me at 712-243-3250.
Whether we're setting a broken bone in our emergency department or providing rehab services after a long illness, we're here to help you feel better. Cass County Memorial Hospital. Neighbors caring for neighbors.
All right. Plenty of stuff actually going on. Not a ton this weekend. A few select activities for Easter, but it's spring.
Yes.
People are out doing things. A lot of fundraising activities.
There is. Speaking of that, the Cass County Relay for Life team captain kickoff is from 5 to 6:30 on Monday, April 6th. It's at the Cass County Memorial Hospital Conference Room 2. So you can stop by and register your team and learn more about Relay for Life of Cass County. They'll also have a light dinner with the event leadership team, and you can find out how you can help in the fight against cancer. If you'd like more information, you can contact Krista McDermott, team ambassador, at 243-2850. You can also register your team for free online at relayforlife.org/CassCountyIA. That's the Cass County Relay for Life Team Captain Kickoff from 5 to 6:30, and that's at the Cass County Memorial Hospital Conference Room 2. Again, that's on Monday, April 6th. And a reminder, also Monday is the deadline for the Senior Alumni Scholarships. There's three available to Atlantic High School seniors planning on attending a 2- or 4-year college or vocational school with financial need and a 2.5 or better GPA. You can get the form on the website, Atlantic Community Schools website. Again, the application deadline is Monday, April 6th. The Audubon County Hospital Foundation is hosting their Scrubs Show and Sale on April 7th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's at the Audubon County Memorial Hospital. And merchandise includes Barco, Cherokee, Dickies, and Grey's Anatomy. So it's a great chance to purchase uniforms and fun comfort wear while supporting quality healthcare services. A portion of the proceeds will then benefit the Audubon County Hospital Foundation. Again, that's on April 7th from 9 to 4 at the Audubon County Memorial Hospital. A free seminar is open to the public on growing orchids. That'll be held on April 7th at 6:30 p.m. at the Extension Office in Red Oak. Presenting will be Dallas Clayton of Alaska, who's been growing orchids for over 5 years. She'll share his experience and words of wisdom for growing orchids, and perhaps you'll want to give it a try yourself. And while the seminar is free, an RSVP is very much appreciated, so they can help plan for attendance and handouts. You can contact the Montgomery County Extension Office at 623-2592 for that. Again, it's a free seminar open to the public on growing orchids on April 7th at 6:30 at the Extension Office in Red Oak. The Shelby County Conservation Board will be holding a Dutch oven cooking class on April 7th at 5:30. That's at the Nishnaben Recreation Area Nature Center. It's 516 Maple Road in Harlan. And they'll be making and eating 8 different recipes. The cost of the class is only $10 for adults and then just $5 for kids 5 through 10, and then kids 4 and under are free. You can call Christina at the Conservation Office to sign up. 744-3403. Against the Shelby County Conservation Board's Dutch Oven Cooking Class, April 7th at 5:30 at the Nishnaben Recreation Area in Harlan. A benefit supper and silent auction will be held on April 8th from 5 to 7:30. It's at the CAM High School Commons. A CAM student, Jessica Sandoval, recently had emergency surgery for a burst appendix. So it's to help raise funds and for the support and to help defray Jessica's medical expenses. If you have any questions, you can call the high school. Again, it's a benefit spaghetti supper and silent auction for Jessica, who recently had emergency surgery for a burst appendix. Cass County Pheasants Forever Banquet is coming up April 11th. It's at the Cass County Community Center in Atlantic. Doors open at 5, and then the dinner is served at 6:30. If you'd like advance tickets, you can call Rick Canning at 249-2517. Again, it's the Cass County Pheasants Forever Banquet, April 11th at the Cass County Community Center in Atlantic. The Atlantic Elks Lodge 445 presents Whiskey River Bend on April 11th. Whiskey River Band will perform it from 8 p.m. to midnight. Tickets are $8 per person and are available at Rex Pharmacy and at the Elks Lodge. Coming up on Sunday, April 12th, is a fundraiser for Scott Scooter Wagner of Griswold. It's on April 12th in Griswold from 2 to 4:30. They're going to have Pieces and Dreams Show and Shine on Main Street, so you can bring your car, truck, or motorcycle. And then from 4:30 to 7 is the dinner and auction. That's at the Griswold Community Building, and they will be serving hamburgers, hot dogs, sides, and desserts. That's all for a free will donation. If you have any questions or if you'd like to donate some auction items, you can call 778-2426. It's a fundraiser for Scott Scooter Wagner of Griswold, April 12th in Griswold. The Atlantic Citywide Garage Sales are coming up. It's not until May 1st and 2nd, but if you'd like to have a sale, the cost is $10 for one day or $15 for both days, and you can contact Becky Bonney at 254-0838 for more information. Again, it's Atlantic Citywide Garage Sales coming up May 1st and 2nd. It's May 1st from 2 to 6 and May 2nd from 10 to 4. And then they'll have maps available at Casey's Fairway and Hy-Vee. If you'd like your name on that map, $10 for one day, $15 for both days. And you can contact Becky Bonney, 254-0838.
Very good. Lots of stuff going on here. Got some other things, too, yet that are going on, including this weekend. If you don't really feel like cooking at home and you want to enjoy a nice Easter meal, you can gather up the family and friends and head over to the Atlantic Elks Lodge in their dining room. They'll be having an Easter brunch this Sunday, April 5th, Easter Sunday, from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. It's $8 for adults, kids 10 and under $5, and of course the public is invited. Otherwise, we wouldn't be telling you about it.
Yeah.
That's at the Atlantic Elks Lodge dining room this Sunday, Easter Sunday, April 5th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and they hope to have a nice crowd for that. Speaking of the Elks Lodge, they have another event coming up in about a week. Next weekend, the Elks Lodge here in Atlantic will present the band Whiskey River. Everyone is welcome. It's April 11th. That's a Saturday night. Tickets are just $8 per person. It's pretty reasonable. Mm-hmm. 8 p.m. to midnight will be the show. Tickets are available at Rex Pharmacy and at the Elks Lodge. Now, the Whiskey River Band, they've been an opening act. They've performed with a lot of the top country acts around the country over the last several years. So Whiskey River Band at the Atlantic Elks Lodge, number 445. That's at 501 Poplar Street. And that's Saturday, April 11th. Tickets, 8 o'clock per person from 8 to midnight. And get those tickets at Rex Pharmacy and at the Elks Lodge if you're interested in that. Also coming up next weekend, Avoca's got some things going on. The city of Avoca will have their spring cleanup. That'll be Saturday, April 11th. The city officials are asking for volunteers to help clean up Edgington Memorial Park as well. And if you're interested in helping and volunteering, they do ask you to come over to Edgington Memorial Park at 8 a.m. on Saturday. Gloves and trash bags will be provided for the volunteers. They do ask you to call the Avoca City Hall with any questions about the special annual spring project, as they want to get the community's city park in better shape for the busy outdoor recreational season coming up. You know, might not be coming up a lot quicker than we think, too, if the weather stays this nice. Also, that same day, Avoca's Spring Vendor Craft Fair is going to be held at the American Legion Hall. That's on Elm Street, North Elm Street in Avoca. That's from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. Food will be available. There'll be a whole bunch of different vendors and crafters, so you'll find something for everyone at the Avoca Spring Vendor Craft Fair. Saturday, April 11th, 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. at the American Legion Hall in Avoca. Now, also, you don't think much about 4th of July this time of the year.
No.
But in Exira, they're always thinking 4th of July.
There.
You bet it is. In fact, this year, they're going to be celebrating their 150 years of their 4th of July celebration. It's called Keeping Exira on the Map. And they're going to have a 4th of July kickoff coming up on Saturday, April 11th. It'll be a fundraiser for the Reno, the Rec Renovation Project. There we go. I'll get it out. 5 o'clock is social hour. 6 o'clock is dinner. There's a live auction at 7:30, and they'll dance from 9 until midnight. Tickets are $30 or $25 each for two or more, and a table of eight would be $200. The band is Nice Bangs and the Establishment.
Hmm.
Nice Bangs and the Establishment is the name of the band. And you can get your tickets at the Exira Farm Service, Exira Plumbing and Heating, Spartan Insurance, the Exchange State Bank, the Exira Public Library, Rasmussen Law, or Landman's Insurance. Now, they only have 200 tickets available. You do need to purchase in advance. Again, that's Saturday, April 11th. Social hour at 5 o'clock will get the evening started. Dinner, live auction, and a dance all going on. And they hope to have a lot of fun there. Again, that's the 4th of July kickoff, celebrating 150 years, keeping Exira on the map. That's a long time to be doing a 4th of July celebration, isn't it? If you haven't participated yet, you still have plenty of time to get in on the Cass County Memorial Hospital's screenings. The blood draws are being taken now. They have a few of them already finished up here this last week, and they'll have a few more coming up this next week on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th, from 7 to 9 a.m. each day at the Cass County Memorial Hospital atrium. Now, if you miss out on those, they'll be at the Anita Medical Center on April 13th from 7 to 9 a.m. They'll also do the blood draws at the Griswold Medical Center on April 14th from 7 until 8 a.m. and at the Messina Medical Center on April 15th from 7 to 8 a.m. Now, they offer a number of different screenings, and to schedule an appointment for the blood draw, you can go to CassCountyClinics.com or call them at 249-0667. And the results will be mailed to the address that you provide on your registration form. Now, those registration forms are also available on the day of your appointment, or you can get them ahead of time at casshealth.org at the Cass County Hospital website. The blood profile, by the way, is $35, and it includes a whole lot of different things. You can also do the PSA. There's a vitamin D check and a blood profile plus A1C test that you can do as well, and that'll change the price a little bit, but $35 for the basic blood profile. So check those dates and times out if you're interested in participating in that. So that's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
Let's move on to birthdays. Do you have any?
I do. I'd like to wish happy birthday to Marvel Jacobson. He's celebrating his 80th birthday on April 6th, and his family is planning a card shower in his honor. So you can send Marvel Jacobson a birthday card to 1013 Court Street in Harlan, 51537. And his family includes Rick, Kirk, and Pam, and Marcia and Paul. and 4 grandchildren and 1 great-granddaughter. So the family of Marvel Jacobson of Harlan celebrating her birthday, her 80th birthday on April 6th. And you can send her card to 1013 Court Street in Harlan, 51537.
That's all?
That's all I have, yeah.
Well, I'm a little late on the draw here, but I'll throw one other birthday in.
All right.
This past Thursday was my dad's birthday.
Oh.
So, yeah, happy birthday to my dad.
Yes.
Hope he, I know he had a great day. One of my brothers that lives up there took him out for a nice steak dinner that
night.
Oh,
yum.
So,
you can't
go
wrong there.
Darn, I hate that. The only thing I hate about it is I wasn't there to enjoy it, too.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, I hope Dad had a good day, and I'm sure he did, and enjoyed the day with family. Very good. I don't have any anniversaries to share.
No,
no baby announcements to tell you about much. I do. There is a pretty significant death this week, though. Fella passed away on Tuesday. Oh no, he died March 23rd, but it was just confirmed by the family here this last week. Yeah, his name is Gary Ross Dahl. You don't know Gary Ross Dahl?
No.
Well, you are kind of young. You may not remember this. Did you ever hear of the pet rock?
Yeah.
He invented it.
That's kind of a weird thing to invent.
Gary?
You just gave it a title.
Ross Dahl. He was the creator of the wildly popular 1970s fad called the pet rock. He died at the age of 78 in Southern Oregon, and his wife, Marguerite, confirmed Tuesday that her husband of 40 years died actually on March 23rd. He had chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Mm. Yeah, the pet rock. That was before your time.
I don't get that.
Oh, that was the... Oh, boy, a lot of parents didn't like this guy.
Well, go out to the street, pick up a rock. I mean, did it have anything else even on it? I don't know.
Yeah, they were smooth stones. They came packed in a cardboard box, and they contained a tongue-in-cheek instruction pamphlet for caring and feeding. Now, I didn't have a pet rock when I was young, but many of my friends did. Mm-hmm. We always shook our heads and thought, seriously? You spent your money on this?
Right.
Dahl estimated that he had sold about 1.5 million of them at about $4 each by the time the fad fizzled out.
So there's a sucker born every minute.
You got that right. Yeah, the care and feeding instruction pamphlet. That was the funniest part. And the pet rock, of course, required no work and no time commitment because you don't have to feed it or care for it. He was an advertising executive when he came up with the pet rock idea. He also wrote the book Advertising for Dummies. He and his wife retired and moved to Jacksonville in 2006. But the pet rock craze, his wife recalled in a telephone interview, she said it was great fun when it happened. Over time, however, people would come to him with weird ideas, expecting him to do for them what he had done for himself.
Oh, jeez.
And a lot of times she said they were really, really stupid ideas.
Yeah.
And she said by 1988, Dahl told the Associated Press that he had avoided interviews for years because of what he called a bunch of wackos appearing out of nowhere with threats and lawsuits. Of the little rock that became a household word, he said, quote, "Sometimes I look back and wonder if my life wouldn't have been simpler if I hadn't done it."
Yeah.
The pet rock.
I think that's just what fame
creator.
And money does, though.
The pet rock. Really?
Did it have, like, fake eyes on it or anything?
No, it was
like,
just a rock.
Just a plain rock, nothing on
it. Well, sometimes people would paint stuff on them and whatever, but you get bored. It's your... I mean, it was a... You weren't even alive then, but it was crazy. I mean, there were kids that would bring these to school. I was a kid in the 60s and 70s, mm-hmm. so I remember these very well. There were kids that would bring them to school, and they would literally talk about... They would name them, and they would pet them. And it's... really?
I mean, I guess it's one way to give your kid a pet with no extra responsibilities, but...
I guess in a way it is the perfect pet for parents when you think about it.
Wow, how much were these things?
$4, roughly.
Hmm.
But yeah, I guess it is, because, you know, if you... Oh, Mom, I want a dog. Well, what happens? Mom and Dad end up taking care
exactly,
of the dog.
Yep.
The kids don't. You've been through that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of how it goes. So maybe the pet rock was a good idea for parents. We always thought the parents were all mad. I'm spending $4 on what? But
whatever makes you happy, be quiet.
Maybe it was a good idea. It was less work for them, right? No, well.
I wonder if that would have worked on Mike.
Yeah. The pet rock career. You have a pet husband. You don't need a pet rock. That's all the time we have for you here this weekend. Hope you're enjoying your Easter weekend. Have a very good weekend with family and friends. This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.